in a cabbage patch garden all in a row. Magic cabbages live and grow with bunny bee crystals and love and joy. They turn into a cabbage patch girl and boy. Cabbage patch kids
growing in the garden.
Cabbage patch kids
growing in the sun.
And the most amazing thing about a cabbage patch kid is that each one grows to be a special one.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, Knee Deep in Now Christmas episodes. That's right. This week we're doing a Cabbage Patch Kids Christmas. Oh boy. Anyways, this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
I can't believe you said knee deep in the and didn't finish it with hoopla, which is the only thing one can be knee deep in.
I've never heard that before.
Knee deep in the hoopla. Only no. The greatest album ever by Starship. Where do you think we built the city came from?
Wait, I'm sorry. Jefferson Starship?
Starship? Yeah, which Starship?
Are you Jefferson talking about, like, the Millennium
Falcon? Jefferson Airplane to Airplane to Jefferson Starship to Starship.
You're talking about the Battlestar Galactica?
The what?
The USS Voyager? Which starship are you referring to? The Normandy for Mass Effect? Hey, Gina, you should check that game out.
What? Never heard of it. Wish someone had told me about it.
I know. I'm really mad at you.
I had to look it up real quick because I wasn't sure if it was Jefferson Starship or Starship. I was correct. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
I would have edited it out if I had.
I guarantee you would not have.
That's revisionist history right there. If you're wrong,
that's why we do podcasting.
You leave all Ray's mistakes in. I don't make any mistakes, but you leave all of Ray's mistakes in.
Yes.
Yeah, what's up with that? And you even add mistakes after the fact.
Yeah, I don't need to. Not for you.
You even move my dialogue around in the show so I'm answering questions before anybody's even asked them.
Oh, I still got to go fix that.
I mean, we'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be. Sure would be.
Anyway, we watched Chan found a treasure trove, list of terrible Christmas shows. I looked ahead. I don't remember any of them, but I remember every single time being like, oh, God damn it. So I look forward to this. Cabbage Patch Kids Christmas from 1984. We'll get us a roll in a bit here. Very, very excited. What is your all's relationship with the Cabbage Patch toys of the 1980s?
I mean, for me, it was just like knowing that it was one of those early door buster kind of things where people would trample each other trying to get the Cabbage Patch Kids. And like, I sort of knew of it, but like, I never wanted one. And it never touched my life really. So it was just like, oh, well, that's kind of like Beanie Babies. That's one of those things, like, enjoy it, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know if I was ever like, I don't know if I ever played into any of those, like, I need to have this. And if I don't, I'm going to melt down type of things. I think I maybe had like one, but it was like well after the hype was done for them.
Oh, wow.
But I was a big fan of Garbage Pail Kids and sure. Did want those new cards. When the new Garbage Pail Kids cards came out, I thought that they were hilarious. I really wanted the new cards. So that's my relationship to Cabbage Patch Kids was the disgusting spinoff of them.
Great movie, though. Into. Garbage Pail Kids, great movie.
Oscar winner.
It should have been. It wasn't. I will say right now, I had a Cabbage Patch Kid that I enjoyed, but my sisters had Cabbage Patch Kids. We were a Cabbage Patch household, and I look back on it, and I watched this episode, and look, this is not good television, okay? I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there, but the pro-adoption themes in it, I think definitely allowed me to consider it easily as an option now later in life that we have adopted. So I don't know. Maybe it didn't that good. Maybe it didn't that good.
This is your takeaway of this?
Yeah. That's not pro-adoption. That is pro-human trafficking.
Yeah. Also, listen,
I have a lot of thoughts on this, and we will definitely get into all of them.
I had never heard of this. I'm glad I had never heard of it.
Oh, the special?
I mean, you know me. I'm delighted by any holiday things. I find the Cabbage Patch Kids disgustingly disturbing. Like, I think one of the reasons I like the Garbage Pail Kids was because, like, they're trying to be disgusting. Like, they're rude, they're crude, they're in the mood. Cabbage Patch Dolls, like, with their fat, round faces and their, like, disgusting bodies, like, they are freaks.
Someone is in the Cabbage Patch right now making noise into the microphone in a horrifying way. Who is it? Who is it? Cop to it.
It was not me. I was talking, so it couldn't be me.
I was opening a letter. Okay, listen. Okay, I had time.
I heard paper. Ray's long distance overseas affair takes place wholly by letters.
Why would you be opening a letter into the microphone?
I didn't realize it was into the microphone. Listen.
There's almost nothing that is louder that you can do, like for the amount of effort put in, for the sound generated, than opening a goddamn letter.
It's hilarious. Listen. Mistakes. Look,
it better be something super embarrassing, and you better cop to it right now.
No, literally, it's from August 1st of this year, and it's an invoice if I want to get our AC ducts cleaned.
And God. That was what was so important that you had to derail the entire goddamn podcast.
I did.
I hate multiple things about this. I hate that you have unopened junk mail that you didn't just throw it out. I hate that you don't get your mail and immediately go through it like normal human beings.
Definitely not.
It's terrible.
Gina, how many unopened emails in my main account do you think I have right now?
Here's the thing. I hate that too, but email doesn't have like physical trash around. Whereas like if you leave mail lying around, that's physical trash.
Yeah, but I'm going to say right now, 247,000 unopened emails. Guys, I don't think I'm going to get to them.
I just wish that there was a little sound it made every time you clicked one open. I was like, hold on. This is you. Gotta get that AC invoice. Oh yeah. Oh, I'm gonna get some repairs made in my house. Oh,
God. All right, guys. Honestly, this bit is funnier than anything we're gonna do in the actual Cabbage Patch episode. I think I'm already lost. I'm crying already. This is not a good sign. Oh, the Cabbage Patch Kids got me. What can I say? Look, the Cabbage Patch Kids, I'll just from memory, I didn't look anything up because I don't believe in research for this show. I do enough research for the other shows. Don't worry about that. The point I'm trying to make is Cabbage Patch Kids were a 1980s doll for you Gen Zers and millennials listening who don't know.
Fuck you guys.
Whoa. What happened? What did Ray say? Because it sounded like he said that Nazis were awesome.
Ray's pandering to the youngsters again.
Listen, Gina, my coworker needs to know.
whoever that guy is going to turn up dead. And then the police are going to come knocking at my door. Oh
my gosh. Well, good luck to him. That's what I'm saying. So it was a whole thing. So the opening here, first off, we're going to Georgia. I did not know that the Cabbage Patch of the Cabbage Patch Kids fame was in Georgia. But here we are. We are going to Georgia, which is wild to me. We learn in the world of Cabbage Patch Kids.
Is that more wild than the fact that the names of the states are visible from orbit?
Yeah, it was a little off-putting.
That's a normal thing in animation.
in the world of the Cabbage Patch Kids, there's, because they don't get into sex or birth or anything like that. The idea behind it is that there are cabbages in a cabbage patch, if you will, and they become human beings with oddly misshapen heads who need adopting. So you would bring these kids home and adopt them as your children. And they are weird looking. They're adorable, but they're very weird looking. I think they're adorable. Whatever. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the toy from way back when. It's got a soft spot in my heart for them.
And in your head.
What's that?
Soft spot in your head.
Soft spot in my head. Yeah. It never got better. Never made wrestling really hard. But in the world of the Cabbage Patch Kids Christmas special, something called bunny bees are spreading some sort of powder on the cabbages babies. And I assume that powder is just the cocaine that was used to this.
Whoa.
They're pollinating them.
What is that? I have never heard that before.
Well, cocaine is a drug.
Bunny bees pollinating cabbages?
Yeah, that's not part of the lore.
Did you watch the episode?
I do not recall anything about friggin' bunny bees.
Go back to the first like 10 seconds of the episode, Chad. You're going to see some goddamn bunny bees.
Did you just block it out of your memory?
I would have.
They are the bunny bees spreading their crystals.
spreading their crystals.
I just looked it up and it says, it like on the Wikipedia, it says the bunny bees fly all around, sprinkle magic crystal dust.
What is happening?
On the mother cabbages. And that magic causes Cabbage Patch Kids to be born.
Yo, this is not okay.
That is why I straight blocked it out. No, visually, the thing happened on the screen. My eyes were on it. And my brain was like, no, you don't need
to. Yeah. It's like when you have a traumatic incident and you'll be asleep like a month from now and you'll have a nightmare about it. This website is still active. You can still adopt. you can see, I just sent you guys the website. We should post this. See adoptees. You can find your perfect match.
I love it.
They're much hipper looking now. Some have glasses. One terrifying kid is dressed like a reindeer. They're much more diverse than they used to be in the 80s. So, yeah, you can, everyone listening, in case you were curious, you can still adopt your very own crystal meth baby.
What, this is crazy because I actually, my first thought was they are way more diverse on this special than I was expecting them to be for the 1980s.
No, wait, in the 80s, how? You always had a couple thrown in.
No, a couple was more than you usually got. Chan, you know. Oh, my gracious. So, yeah, so the bunny bees are spreading crystal powder on mother cabbages to make new babies. And a thing that I guarantee this is why sex education is so poor in this country. Everybody thinks this is what's going on. And then a stork tends to the babies.
Mm-hmm.
And a hidden glen.
The stork thing gets weirder. Because like I was looking at, surely this stork is just called Stork on IMDb, but he's Colonel Casey.
Colonel Casey, that I remember. They mentioned it multiple times.
First of all, how did he attain the rank of Colonel if he's a stork?
He served in World War II, ma'am. He killed the Nazis.
Okay.
He feels a lot more like a Korean War vet to me, honestly.
You know what?
Like,
This is Hal Smith, who voiced Owl from Winnie the Pooh.
How about that?
Okay.
We got some good voices in it. I recognize some G.I. Joe voices right away.
I mean, Optimus Prime at the end there as the cop.
Not though. Peter Cullen is not credited in the credits of this at all.
No, I saw him on the IMDb.
That's weird because when I freeze framed the cast, he was not listed. I was looking for him because I'm like, that is obviously Peter Cullen.
No, he was listed on the IMDb page. You got to
ask for his name to be taken off the actual show.
No, I mean his picture is prominent. It's like one of the first. Hang on, let me find it. Yeah, it's like his picture is prominently displayed on the. Yeah, Hal Smith, Tress MacNeil.
That's really, really strange. Yeah.
Neil
I freeze framed it literally looking for Peter Cullen on the voice actor page.
Yeah, it says police voice. He's literally like at the.
I believe you that he is there on the IMDb. I am telling you on the actual program itself, he is not listed as a member of the cast. Blowing my mind right now.
Who knows what was lost in translation from this being uploaded to YouTube?
What do you mean uploaded to YouTube? There is literally a page, a sheet. What do you call it, Gina? There is a credit list.
I am trying to be polite and say that you missed it or can't read.
I will say the list of names on this cast list is in the same order as IMDb. And it cuts off the last name, Anne Marie McAvoy, is the name just above Peter Cullen.
Told ya.
So they just went down the list, and there was just not enough room for him.
That's so wild. I would think someone would get sued if you don't get credited for a thing that you did.
No, Chan is saying that the credits just cut off. Like, it doesn't, right?
But, yeah. Maybe he just got shit representation.
It's not like they zoomed in on this version of the video. It's just he's not there. That's crazy. Because I swear, I'm like, well, that's obviously Peter Cullen.
Well, you know what we should do is spend the next 30 minutes talking about it.
I would like to do that, actually. Oh, wait.
We had three lines. This was I bet this dropped before Transformers dropped. So, like, he's probably a guy who, you know, did a lot of voice work, but he wasn't, like, recognizable.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. He did not get credited on this show until IMDb came out. So for decades, people were like, is that Peter Cullen? I don't know. He's not listed. Can't be him.
I can't imagine that ever happened to a single person.
We cracked the case. It happened to me just now. It must have happened to someone else. Anyway, so here's the deal. We have Xavier Roberts, who I think is the name of the person who invented Cabbage Patch Kids. Am I crazy about that?
Yeah. That's kind of weird.
Professor Xavier's School for Gifted Cabbage Patch Kids.
That is correct. None of them are Omega level.
Mutants are just just meth heads.
This all tracks. Xavier Roberts is a teenager? Well, how old would you say he is? He's like 14?
Maybe 12.
12? So this adult is represented in the show by a small child, not as small as the Cabbage Patch Kids.
I'm gonna put something in the chat right now that you guys need to click on because
that is the largest penis I've ever seen in my life. Why?
No, I normally put those in the chat. This is a picture of the founder. Who's a real beardy-looking dude with a cowboy hat who's just smack dab in the middle of a bunch of Cabbage Patch dolls, and it looks
I mean, they made him $1 billion. That's fine. I begrudge the man nothing. He's still alive. Why didn't we get him for this
episode? He's only 68. He's got at least 20 years ahead of him.
He was in his 20s. Well, yeah.
I went to the Cabbage Patch Kids wiki, clicked on Xavier Roberts, and... I feel like I'm aware that this was the case.
Yeah, a 21-year-old art student. That's kind of cool, to be honest. He was a 21-year-old art student. He created like the most popular toy in history up to that point.
No.
He was also born on Halloween. How about that?
Picture of a naked baby's ass with his name tattooed on it.
He did do that as well. Yes.
I mean, if we're going to talk about human trafficking right there, that's
how do you know that is so strange.
White slaver. There you go.
That's a very strange image. Yes.
That's interesting. I bet you he's a fascinating guy, and I think we missed an opportunity to have him on the show. We're going to have to do more Cabbage Patch content and get Xavier on the show. I mean, what else is he doing right now?
Because I'm probably going to say a lot of terrible things about the man.
It'll be no different than what you guys said about Buzz Dixon before we had him on the show the first time.
That was Christina.
You're so, right. That was just Gina. Yeah.
I don't feel bad.
We don't discuss
this. Go back and listen to those early episodes.
We don't discuss this.
This is why Gina wants to re-record all the early episodes.
We don't discuss this.
Yeah, I bet you wish I was editing stuff now, huh, Gina?
Yeah.
I hate everyone and everything.
Well, that's the truth. So, yeah. So there's a stork. There's Cabbage Patch Kids. They live in a cabin in a hidden glen, behind a mountain or something. In Georgia, though, Xavier Roberts is from Georgia.
So I'm assuming they need to be kept secret because the government is hunting for them.
This felt weird.
Very much like one of those shows. I don't know if we're talking like The Gifted or A-Team, but like either way, it's like we're on the run.
But also,
yeah, like the fact that they have to remain secret and that only this colonel and this like this preteen or teenage boy knows about them.
Like when you look at him, the first thought isn't, oh, he's a member of the armed forces. He's a fucking bird.
No, I think he's like one of those doomsday preppers and the Cabbage Patch Dolls are part of his plan. Like he's like hiding them there for when he wants to overthrow the government.
Are you talking about the colonel or Xavier Roberts?
I think Xavier is like someone the colonel recruited who understood his mission, like that he was like just like one day hanging outside a racetrack and he saw like a 13-year-old boy and he was like, man, don't you hate government oversight? And Xavier was like, I guess I do. And he's like, let's talk all about it. And then the colonel was like, after he got him, he like learned to trust Xavier. He was like, hey, I've got a bunch of babies. You can grow as many as you want.
Oh my God.
Just need someone like you to every once in a while check in on them and bring them some canned goods. Otherwise, they'll starve to death.
This entire setup is wild because, yes, they're hiding from society, but also trying to get themselves adopted. So it's just these two things are at odds with each other. That's good conflict. That's good writing.
I mean, it seems like Colonel Casey is using them as slave labor at one point.
What are they doing though? They just hang around a cabin they're like 6 years old. They have to fend for themselves.
And there's also like one of them is a baby. And also at the end, one of them cooks an entire turkey in a dinner unsupervised. I am shocked that the cartoon standards and practices people didn't say, hey, we need more than just a creepy doomsday prepper stork watching over them as they use the oven.
I feel like of all of the Avian Kingdom, the stork is the most reliable when it comes to
what, just because he's trusted with babies?
I mean, yeah, obviously he can be trusted with babies because, like, the whole image of the only thing people know about storks is that they bring babies. They care for babies.
Two things: babies and flaccid pickles.
Okay, I'll grant you. There's not really a lot of difference at newborn stage.
Definitely not. But I want, for all the stork enthusiasts out there who are yelling at their radio, I want to make sure that their voice is heard.
All the stork stands out there. I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's what I just wrote. Every one of these kids looks like a monster.
Yeah.
They are misshapen.
Again.
Their heads are too big.
Garbage Pail Kids are supposed to look like that. Cabbage Patch Kids were supposed to be cute and are mutants.
They're still cute.
They sold 8 gajillion toys, so you're not correct.
Listen, kids are stupid. Kids are stupid.
I guess I can't argue that.
I mean, to be fair, kids are stupid.
Thank you.
That's certifiable. But yeah, they are weird looking. They're like 2 feet tall. I just the way this thing is written, it's just all exposition, but there's no plot or no jokes. It's just, here's a thing that happened, here's another thing that happened, here are things that keep happening, but not like in a way that would drive action or conflict.
Well,
the impression that all cartoons are comedies, or that all kids' cartoons are comedies?
Yes, all kids cartoons are, they have to be comedies. Look, we need to talk about, this is clearly going for jokes or humor at certain points. There are quote unquote one-liners, just nothing lands because it's all written so poorly. There's the line where they literally are literally biting a man's ankles. They are literal ankle biters. And then we have shots of villains jumping up and down, holding their feet. And that is meant to convey humor. That's Home Alone style horribleness.
I would like to take a moment to discuss.
Yes, please.
The size, because you mentioned they're 2 feet tall.
1 foot of that is head.
There's some sort of size that is smaller than an adult human. But also, we first meet Lavender, McFuckface, whatever, and
yes,
the two like weasels. Weasel.
It's a weasel and a rabbit. Evil Cabbage Jack and Bull Weasel.
Evil Cabbage. Okay. Oh, he is a rabbit. That's weird.
Oh, like a, cabbage like a bowler jack hat. Rabbit.
It's wonderful. I love them. I love these people.
So there are animals, there are rabbits, there are small, normal rabbits like we conceptualize of them, which may or may not have meth and sprinkle meth on cabbages, but there are also anthropomorphic rabbits in this world.
Well, the stork is also anthropomorphic, so this isn't too weird.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
And the anthropomorphic weasel, they are too big. This Lavender chick wants the Cabbage Patch Kids because they are small enough to reach the gold in
her mind. She's a miner, and you know, she wants children to do her workplace mining,
right?
To go into small holes and get gold out for her. I'm glad to see, you know, children in mines doesn't happen anymore, and there aren't people pushing legislation to bring that back anytime. What's that?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Good old family values, you know.
Oh, well, I've just gotten word that I'm wrong about that. They are, in fact, trying to get those laws passed in the year 2023.
Here's my concern is that she wants these children because they're small. She has an anthropomorphic weasel.
Yes, she does.
Who is smaller than the children.
Thinner, at least.
Undoubtedly stronger than the children, faster than the children. And if he can't reach the friggin' gold, I mean, A, you should get some picks and shovels, maybe, because they don't have any tools for actual digging in this mine.
It's tough mine.
But even if they didn't, like, the weasel could get the gold 1,000 times better than these children.
That's a great point.
I mean, maybe the weasel, these kids are made of hardy stock. Maybe the weasel has like tiny little arms and can't properly carry the gold nuggets, whereas these hefty, fat-cheeked children.
Whoa, that sounds, is that fat shaming? It feels like, it feels horrible, whatever it is that you're doing.
They deserve it. They are a militia of children who are not, ready to do the bidding wrong. Of a military stork.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
You know, I'm going back and I'm looking at this hole, and I feel like there's nothing stopping all three of these larger characters from going in the hole.
Just real quick, I'm going to have to clip that out of context.
Oh, yes, please do. Yeah. New ringtones just dropped. Hottest thing of 2023. This hole is roughly 3 feet tall, and they're literally reaching in there, not trying very hard. So yeah. I'm wondering if they're dapper suits, they don't want to get them dirty.
Uh-huh.
But they don't care if the children get dirty.
This weasel has a very nice hat.
This bowler is legit. Like I'm honestly like, I'm sitting here watching the Cabbage Patch Kids first Christmas special, and that's daring, implying there was going to be a second, a third, and a fourth. Good job, Cabbage Patch Kids, on your boldness from 1984, and I'm sitting here jealous of the way this weasel dresses. Why can't I look like that weasel from that 40-year-old Cabbage Patch Kids special? What's wrong with me and my fashion sense?
I couldn't begin to explain in a podcast.
Sad life.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages. Good parents make Cabbage Patch Kids.
The Cabbage Patch Kids. Each doll is different, and you can pretend to adopt them.
My baby has a real diaper.
You can love and care for them like your very own.
You're a pal. You're the only one. I love you.
They're each one of a kind. They're Cabbage Patch Kids. You can give them all your love.
Cabbage Patch Kids are each sold separately. Each doll comes with a pretend birth certificate and adoption papers from Coleco.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
A few things here. The kids just live alone in a cabin in the woods, and that just blows my mind. I don't understand that.
I don't think
that's fair. Also, yes, this old lady Lavender and this weasel and jackrabbit also live in this hidden glen where they operate a mining facility. And I don't know who they would sell this gold to. It doesn't seem like money exists in this magical realm. They would have to go into the real world, which they also don't seem keen to do. So I'm a little confused how the economy works here.
No, I would buy that. I think like the Cabbage Patch Kids don't really go into the real world, but I would buy that this rich old lady occasionally like goes into town and like really spends it up, like spends a day at a spa, gets really expensive whiskey, and just like really, and she has grown accustomed to life on the outside, and she needs to feed that habit.
Note to self, we just found out what Gina would do if she won the lottery.
I mean, really, I would just order every kind of spaghetti from every restaurant. But
that's very fair. Yeah. I wrote here, this is a Wes Craven movie in the making of just weird looking children in the woods.
Growing up to
become all murderers.
Here's a pitch. No one steal this. It's mine. Mm-hmm. A remake of The Hills Have Eyes, but it's all Cabbage Patch Kids.
This is what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. I want like a family to get a flat tire near the Cabbage Patch and then just to hear like rustling and seeing little fat cheeks staring out at them and being like, get back in the car, honey, get back in the car. And like the cell phones don't work here. And then just like a fucking baby cat, the baby that sticks its disgusting face in the turkey at the end
that
just slowly crawls out. I can't even talk about it. It's so gross.
We'll get there when we get there. That's the very end of the episode.
Until then, it's in my brain.
It'll be burned there for the entirety of your life. That plot, Gina, is not too different from Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, the horror movie that came out. But it is different, just not too different. It's also, that's a terrible movie. So there you go. Here's the deal. The kids find out, the Cabbage Patch Kids find out about the spirit of Christmas. And because they're a bunch of dumb babies, they think it's a literal, thing that they can go witness. So they're going to go into the real world, somehow New York City. I think I'm still a little confused. Is it supposed to be Atlanta? But Atlanta isn't even close to looking like that. I don't know. The point is,
I don't understand where their naivete begins and ends.
Yes.
Because like, yeah, this little baby made a turkey, a full on roast turkey just on her own with no trouble at all. But like, they don't understand the concept of like money or the idea of a spirit as a...
I would buy that very, very, very sheltered kids know about food, but not commerce. I would buy that.
Hmm. Okay.
Enough to like live alone?
What do they need money for, first of all? Like they clearly don't need money. They seem to just like, I don't even know if they need to eat, but like they seem to just grow their own food. I assume one of them
grow their own turkey siblings.
Yeah, I think that most of the time what they eat are the defective siblings that grow from the cabbage.
Oh god. Oh no.
Whoa.
How messed up is it that Colonel Stork, they're just like, hey, we're going to go in the city, but it's big and scary. We're going to go see the spirit of Christmas. And he's like, be careful, guys. But yeah, absolutely go for it. Doesn't offer to go with them.
I mean, to be fair, talking storks should not go to the city.
Okay, fair.
That is the recipe for disaster.
Also, I assume he's got shit to do. He's got crystal meth to deliver all over the world.
Meth fairy. Also, like, if all eight of these kids go to the city and get abducted or murdered, he's just going to grow more.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. One of them gets straight up kidnapped at the end of this episode, and he just replaces it immediately.
Immediately. There's no wait. It's just like, oh, did you come home one less? Here's a baby.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening? Yeah, that's wild. Yeah. They get chased by the evil trio, and because they want to abduct the children to do mining for them. And I don't know why. I love that. I just, as motivations go, this is top notch to me. I'm going to abduct the Cabbage Patch Kid children in this hidden faraway land so they can work in a mine. This is straight up 1940s Disney stuff, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I like to imagine that in the writer's room as they were writing this episode, like, they were like, okay, so we need to, like, find a way to like, get them to the city, put them in danger. Someone wants something from them. What do they want? And then there's just one guy that's like, sex trafficking? And it's like, damn it, Gary, no, not sex trafficking. And then they talk for like several more hours. And Gary's like, I mean, I feel like we had the idea 2 hours ago. It was sex trafficking. And then finally someone was like, I don't know. What are, okay, they're small. Let's just like say they want them to mine gold. And Gary is like, yeah, okay, like that's more realistic than sex trafficking.
In this Christmas special. Yeah, so they chase the kids trying to capture them. But the kids escape. They jump up into a tree and immediately our evil trio's like, I don't know what happened. They were just here next to this tree and there's nothing else around here, but now they're not here anymore. Oh, shit. Guys, I'm at a loss here. I don't know what happened. And this is when my mind is just blown as two like Canadian dudes, two Bob and Doug McKenzie from Strange Brew, just show up in a pickup truck with a vertical saw. What do you call those things? It's the big long saw that two people use. You know what I'm talking about. And they cut down the tree, and Chan, I begged for this sound pull because what is happening in this moment?
I'm so confused about why you wanted this. I feel like we're about to learn something new about you.
Probably. Sorry.
This one will bring a good price in the city.
I don't know why that just hit me so amazingly funny. Like, we're here in a magical land, and this dude who can't even this-anal is not a word. I had to use two apostrophes just to bang it out on the page. This one will get a good price in the city. I like that we needed him to say anything at all.
That's what's weird. The regional dialect?
Regional to what? We are in a magical land with talking rabbits.
I mean,
this is not Huckleberry Finn, I hope. Is this Huckleberry Finn?
It might be Narnia. Did you see any Turkish delights?
Ooh. Oh, boy. And it turns out we're going to the city by tree.
As how these, I travel.
These Canadians, I assume, cut the tree down, don't look at it, hoist it to the back of their truck, and drive straight into the city.
It's a fucking tree. What?
Yeah.
What do you want them expecting it for ticks?
I'm confused by Ray's whole, like, what's a tree thing?
I know what a tree is, all right?
It's, do you?
It gives us light. you know, so there's that. I don't know. To me, to haul this tree into the truck would force them to get near the part somewhere where they would have seen a Cabbage Patch Kid. So either they just don't care, possibly, or they're made of heaven. I don't know. It's every part about this just rang bizarre to me. And obviously, this is normal things to the two of you, so I'll just go on.
Dude, they're lumber dudes. They're cutting down a tree to sell.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, when you said, can I get a sound pull? I was like, oh, I think Ray doesn't know where Christmas trees come from.
They come from a magical land next to a shack in the woods where Cabbage Patch, eight of them, live together with no help.
They grow from cabbages. a stork brings them to Christmas tree lots.
It puts crystal dust on them.
Uh-huh. That's why they're so popular.
Well, now we're at the city. And now we're going to go find the spirit. And this part, Gina, I'm going to need some narrative help with this.
Uh-oh.
Because we're introduced to three characters of Bertha, Vinkers, and Gus, who are human equivalents to the Lavender and the bunny and the bull weasel. God.
I thought I had missed something.
Oh my God, me too. Me too.
Like, did they transform into
what? No. I thought they were wearing disguises the whole time. And I think, like, I had the same thought. I was like, ah, crap, I must have zoned out. And they put on human disguises.
No.
And then we went through the whole episode and they never took off their disguises. And I was like, huh.
They're an analog for the characters that were hunting them in the fantasy world. Now they exist in real life, except Lavender to Bertha is like a one-to-one.
Yeah, swap. She was already a human. So I legitimately thought, I thought I must have zoned out. And she was like, she went into the city and was like, you two are going to need disguises. And I genuinely was like, I didn't care enough to rewind it and go back, but I thought I was assuming that's what was going on the entire time.
It's like they wanted them to still continue to be chased by these three characters from the beginning, but then suddenly, like towards the end of the production or the writing cycle, somebody was like, how do we explain a weasel and a rabbit running around the real world and nobody notices or cares? And then so they had to make this bizarre swap. And I'm struggling. I'm struggling with this concept in this episode of this show.
This is what I've learned in my many decades on this planet. If every relationship of yours involves being kidnapped by an enormous, rich, fat woman and her two weasel-like minions, in every relationship, then it's not them, it's you that's the problem.
So you're saying the Cabbage Patch Kids were asking for it?
Oh, boy. I mean, Robert Clark Chan.
Robert Clark Chan is Gary in the writer's room who wanted to make them be sex trafficked.
I guarantee it.
We're going to teach the kids a lesson. Let's teach them a lesson about the real world, crying out loud.
Oh, boy.
You know, someday.
Do I love the fact that the kids immediately go up to Bertha? They were just chased by this analog on the other side, but they walk up to her like she's just a normal person who they can trust. Because, again, the naivete. If they were so naive, they'd be working in a goddarn mine right now. So I mean,
to be fair, I like the fact that not all elderly fat women look the same to these kids. Like, they look at her and they're like, well, it's not. She looks like her, but clearly it's not her. One of them even says that looks like Violet or whatever her name is.
Lavender.
But yeah, right? They're like, eh, whatever. It's not the same person. I mean, that's a good lesson right there. Don't racially profile old white ladies, kids.
But it turns out she is exactly like the other one. So yeah, yes, do racially profile old white ladies.
It's a bad lesson.
Also, why don't they say that she looks like the penguin from Batman?
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. This is all true. And so, they want to commit robbery. She tries to get a guy to ask for help. And while he's helping her, the other two guys like rip like everything out of his pockets. This is like out of something out of a Fallout game. Cause they just pickpocket the shit out of him.
She is Fagin and she wants her band.
I think she's being sincere. She's not Fagin.
Stop it. Stop it, Chan. this is already spinning my head enough.
She wants her band of tiny thieves. They should have just gone along with it. They would be rich by now.
And all they get out of his pockets are like receipts and a library card. And do not disrespect the library card.
It's two tickets, two bus tickets to somewhere. Oh, yeah.
Paradise?
Two bus tickets to Macon, Georgia.
I mean, if you're a thief, a professional thief, that's your business, Like, you should know how to fence that and at least get a couple bucks. Why would you tear it up?
Jesus. Tears them all up.
Yeah, or take it back to the bus depot and be like, I'm not going to need these after all. Give me my money back. They used to do things like that back then.
Yeah.
Go to the library, take out the most expensive books, as many as you can, and sell them on the black market. It's not your card.
The black market of library books.
I'm sure there's one. eBay. This is this is a new Amazon thing. Sell those books, kids. I do like the kids go up to her, the Cabbage Patch Kids, and ask her about the Christmas spirit. Her response is to say, beat it, brats.
Yeah, I like this
but
lady.
Her plan later is to kidnap them and use them as pickpockets. So when they came up to her originally, she should have just tried to kidnap them instead of chasing them away. If this is what's in her heart, right?
I think she doesn't come up with the plan until later, right?
Maybe.
I mean,
the plan is amorphous. I'll just say that.
Yeah, she's got kind of a one track mind. So I feel like, you know, she was already looking for people to do her bidding.
Yeah, I feel like if Violet's plan was, I'm going to use these kids in the mines to mine gold because they're small, then this lady should at least be like, oh, no one suspects a little kid of robbery, so that's why we'll send them. They're small and cute and can get close to people.
Yeah, but you got to have kids that are desperate and wanting to do it. Otherwise, they're not going to do a very good job. None of these Cabbage Patch Kids is going to become the Artful Dodger. That's all I'm trying to say.
She's just got to corrupt him a little.
Okay, that's fair. Well, in the spirit of true 1980s capitalism, they see a big store and say that's obviously where the spirit of Christmas can be found.
I mean, they wouldn't be wrong.
And they would be right, yeah. And the kids try to roll just straight through traffic, not understanding what an automobile is, or a crosswalk, or a signal. And so this couple that is just intertwined with their lives, because this is really just the story of these two stories coming together and going apart and coming together and going apart. Ugh. Even if it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, this couple's going through some shit.
This couple This couple is awful. The woman is especially awful.
She is.
I'm assuming the man is beating her at night.
Why would you assume that?
Listen, she's so sad, and it makes no sense why she's so sad.
No, it does not.
And he's like sort of just like, my wife is sad again, I guess. And you just know that, like, he gets home from work and she's like, why don't we have a child, husband? And he's like, God, this again. And he's like, oh, you know what? I forgot something back at the office. And then she's like, are you going drinking again, husband? And he's like, no. I forgot something back at the office. And then like 5 hours later, he comes home reeking of scotch. And she's like, oh, when you were gone, I was so sad about our lack of a baby. And he's like, Jesus Christ, really? I went out for 6 hours and you are still talking about this? And she's like, why must you be so cruel to me, Kevin? And he gives her the back of her hand and then eats his cold soup in the fridge.
Jesus, are you making fun of domestic violence, Matt Rife?
Yeah, thank you. Wow. Thank you.
Listen, I'm not saying I am, but I am saying I have a fabulous chin. That's totally natural and was not given to me by any plastic surgeons.
This is going to be a hilarious bit 6 years from now when someone listens to this.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to Google him and nothing is going to come up. And it's going to be like some guy in Virginia who has the same name. And they're going to be like, that can't be right. And then they'll go do a deeper dive and they'll find out that like he was a flash in the pan comic who now is the manager of a Best Buy.
You guys, and the missing context here is that a few years ago, Gina dated Matt Rife.
I mean, that would be on brand. I guess.
I mean, honestly, I say that not totally sure it's not true.
Yeah, it seems on brand.
I mean, he wouldn't be the worst guy you dated.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, and I'm sorry for that, Gina. I'm deeply, deeply, profoundly sorry for you.
I'm comfortable with who I am.
I mean, that's great. You're a survivor. Anyway, these kids would not be survivors if it wasn't for this couple helping them across the street. All eight of them And they say, they get him across the street, and this white woman is just going through some things. And let me just recap the story of their lives as I understand it. You all can fill in some details for me. They live in the country normally, because she makes direct reference to, we came to the city for Christmas to see the children enjoying Christmas in hopes that wouldn't make me so sad about not having children at Christmas time. I think that's a bad plan. If that's where you're coming from, that's a bad plan. So they live in the country. They have a ton of money. They clearly have a ton of money. They come into the city with their wearing their best to just see children and be in the city at Christmas time. It's a little vacation they're taking.
Yeah, I think that that this couple lives in the middle of nowhere. He's rarely home. She did have a child, but drowned it in the bathtub. The couple decided to bury it in the backyard.
You didn't have to make it a whole murder thing.
I think that this is that movie with Nicole Kidman and the ghost children.
Okay.
So Gina, and also we're in Georgia, Gina. They come from the country. They live in a house in the middle of nowhere. Come on, Gina, just say, they're plantation owners. Let's just say they come from a family that benefited from certain economic stuff in the South.
I mean, they certainly did not want to adopt any of the Black Cabbage Patch children.
I can't help but notice.
There were tons of Black children they could have adopted, and they're like, I really want a baby. I really want a baby. Maybe not that baby.
Also, is she unfamiliar with adoption before the events of this episode?
This is what's very confusing to me as well. There are thousands upon thousands of children looking for homes in this country.
We need to stop because I'm not done yet with my argument.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm frightened. You're white as a sheet.
Okay. See, I originally wanted to pull this quote.
I hope it didn't scare my freckles off.
That is gross and weird and dumb. But then now that we have established that this woman is in the KKK, only wants the purest white babies, like, you can argue with me. But I just gave you the textual evidence to support my argument.
I see no reason to argue with you at all. This is a complete argument.
Slam dunk.
Yeah, just nailed it. Yeah, and also, like, you kids look frightened. Do they, though?
They really, also, like, they weren't in danger. It's not like, show me some near misses with the cars. But all those cars were politely stopped waiting for the kids to cross the road, which they were doing. And when that woman who murdered, I think, 8 of her previous babies comes into the street and is like, take my hand. Even one of the kids is like, why? What are you going to do with us? And she's
mind? Yeah, I just wrote here, this couple is clearly up for stealing some children.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what? Like, those kids were doing fine crossing that road. No one was about to hit them. Show me some cars swerving around them and honking Toy Story style, or don't have her walk out into the middle of the road and be like, take my hand, strange children.
And how many times do you figure this dude has heard this?
Where are you taking us, mister?
I reckon that's like every weekend.
My wife needs another replacement child.
Also, in a plot point that would later get stolen by the movie Training Day, the man drops his wallet and the kids pick it up and just hold on to it till the end of the episode when it will become needed for the plot.
Mm-hmm. For real? Delightful. I've never seen Training Day.
What's that?
I've never seen Training
Day. What?
There's a plot point where the cop who wants to go straight
is an orphan?
saves a woman from an attack, but she accidentally leaves her wallet behind.
Mm-hmm.
And this is great, everybody. Training Day, great movie. And so also, he holds onto her pink wallet for the entirety of the movie, and then at the very end, he's going to get murdered by a couple of bad guys, a couple of thugs, a couple of gangsters, and one of the gangsters sees the wallet and goes, "Hey, isn't that your cousin's wallet?" And he calls him and says, "Oh, that's the guy oh, we were going to murder you, but it turns out you saved my cousin and you were held onto the wallet that she dropped all the way up until now. And now we're going to let you go as a thank you for saving our cousin.
That's
in one of the most wild plot points in a movie that no one talks about.
Jan, why do you hate action movies starring black men directed by a black man? Tell me why.
Wait a minute. Antoine Fuqua is a black man?
Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
Wow. He's like one of the most famous black directors.
Oh, okay.
He's done all the Equalizers. I mean, Training Day is also just a great movie, but Antoine Fuqua has quite the resume.
All I know is King Kong Ain't Got Shit on Me, and I think we all know that one. So
yeah, it's a really solid movie.
I mean, here's the deal: if that plot point didn't win you over, I don't know what more I got to do.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You did it.
Thank you. Thank you. I trained the day.
Olympus so the has trio, fallen. Yeah,
the he's human a trio stuff. Is now chasing them because beyond the reasons otherwise, they want that wallet because that wallet clearly has a lot of cash in it because somehow this couple ended up with a lot of money.
It makes sense that a couple from Georgia going to the city would bring a lot of cash.
100%. They also would make sense that they would keep their wallet safe and not have it so loosely placed in their body it would just fall out helping children across the street. Just saying.
I mean, here's the thing.
I blame the victim.
If this is a regular occurrence, then I'm sure that wallet fell out very, air quotes, conveniently. Because you know what? If they're gullible enough to go return your wallet, then they're gullible enough to get sold to Russian oligarchs.
Yeah, this is when he says to them, like, oh my God, let me give you a reward. It's in the back of my van.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear, my arm is in a cast. Perhaps you could help me get it out.
Are you a size 14?
We just did three different serial killer bits, and it was great.
Oh God. Okay. So they're getting chased now. The kids are getting chased by the trio. They see an open window and say, let's break into that house. And that's fine. I mean, cool. Let's break into that house.
I mean,
and
what that says to me is that, the Artful Dodger lady like can smell them.
She's yeah.
Like, well, yeah. These kids are fucking criminals. I'll give you some of that.
Yeah. Well, they break into this gigantic house and then we meet a little girl who is we think is like rich. She's got a huge tree and it turns out it's made of her clothing and a coat rack because she's actually phenomenally poor. And I wrote, how is she so poor in that house? Oh, wait, that house is an orphanage where this house is an orphanage where everybody who works there and everybody who lives there has just left for Christmas, leaving this one girl behind to fend for herself. And she has what is that condition? The glass menagerie leg condition where she has a brace around it at all times.
I just assumed it was an effect of polio.
It could be polio. I mean, I thought we cured that well before 1984, like but
broken her shin bone.
What? She's got an old timey
metal brace around her leg.
That's not permanent. Yeah. Usually, like back then, it would be something like polio or.
Sure.
Just but polio.
I'm looking at where that Ricketts. Brace is, and it's just like a little thing just barely around the shin, which, I mean, like, basically looks like a cast.
Yeah, but they had casts back in 1984.
Maybe
not at this orphanage.
This feels to me like she's not that different.
They didn't want to make her too different.
There's another reason why she's not getting adopted. I don't know if she's like a pyro or...
Yeah, she kills animals or something.
Oh, jeez.
Can't stop biting. Something. It's more than like, oh, I'm different.
And yeah, so here I just wrote in all capital letters. Oh, here we go. Full on adoption story incoming. Let's get this kid a home.
What kind of adoption agency?
What's going to happen the rest of this episode? I don't know how to help you.
What kind of adoption agency would be like, yeah, all right, you can stay home?
This blows. Nobody's there but her. They're just like, later, kid. F you, orphan. We're getting out of here.
All of the rest of the kids aren't at families hoping to get adopted. They're out pickpocketing because owner of this orphanage is like, okay, well, an army of.
But I think the most
just wild.
I truly think the most disturbing and sad, both disturbing and sad part of this is when she's like creating a fake mother. Like, this is some Anthony Perkins and Psycho shit.
Oh yeah,
and she's like talking to it, and she's like, "Oh, mother and father, this is the best holiday ever." And the kids come in, and they're like, "Yeah, cool. There's a mom and dad here." Wait, what? And it's just her with a dummy made of like discarded bits of cloth. It and she's awful. Just like, I was just pretending to have a family. And that's when you're like, this chick is a psycho, and it's very sad.
Oh no. Yeah, this is serial killer stuff.
There is a reason why she's not getting adopted.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Maybe also, she's like the orphan from Orphan. She's really 37 years old.
Oh God. It's what's that Wayans Brothers movie, Little Man?
Yeah.
Is she wearing a ribbon around her neck? I feel like.
Oh, geez. But in the middle of all of this, we get a song about being different. And yes, Chan, I want to hear some of it.
It's terrible, though.
That's why we need to hear it. If we had to sit through it, our audience does, too.
Everyone's different. There's me and there's you. But one day a year, every dream can come true. Because it's
I will let it go through to the chorus.
So good.
We can, you know, give it the maximum chance possible to see if it's a banger.
I'm going to go mid banger. I'm going to say slight banger.
You,
I'm going to go 25% banger.
Wretched
on that one.
Man.
Your woke agenda to get every serial killer redhead adopted is making you love a song that's terrible.
Look, maybe I have a special place in my heart for little red haired serial killers. they end up like leaving to try to find the family, and they get straight up abducted by this trio of villains. And I just wrote child abduction, but there's no supervisors here, so nobody gives a shit. They grab the kids, they shake them to get all of their belongings. What are we doing here? At their best, these are orphans, and they're 6 years old. They're not exactly carrying diamond rings.
I mean, if you're good, there's always something worth stealing.
They're not good. They couldn't monetize bus tickets.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they're trying to get that money, and this is where phase two of the plan is, where the new lady, Bertha. Of course. Mm-hmm, and she says, I want to abduct you children. I will be, as Gina said, your Fagin. You will be my Mary Oliver Twist band of miscreants, picking pockets and robbing people in the city. I love this plan. Let's do this. And the kids are like, we don't want to go into a career of theft and criminality for you, of all people. This is not what we want to do. And she drops the line. This is a holy poop my pants moment. When she says this out loud, Chan, I gotta hear it.
That's the trouble with youth today. They don't want to work.
Holy shit. 40 years ago, they were saying that.
Millennials, oh, yeah. Babies.
Almost like they've been saying it for centuries.
Millennials, babies from a cabbage patch. No one wants to work anymore.
Kids, they don't want to mine the coal mines anymore.
That is so wild to me that, you know, it's a talking point that all the Gen Zers have heard a million times and roll their eyes at the concept of it. And to know that it's been being said since the 1800s and before, it's just wild to hear it in a children's cartoon. I all capital letters, holy S. That's wild. This is where we get to the point where, you know, the Cabbage Patch Kids have to escape. They can't physically overpower these grown ass adults. So two of them literally roll up the pant legs of one of the men and bite his ankles off camera. Literal ankle biting. And they all escape to a fancy apartment building, a hotel. I think it's a fancy apartment building, right? Or
it's
I don't
a
know.
Hotel because they're visiting.
Okay, I thought so, it's but then I was confused.
Called the Prince Albert.
It is called the Prince Albert. How did they get away with that?
I don't know. I feel like it probably meant the same thing back at by 1984.
I think it did.
So what?
Prince Albert in a can?
Does Gina sure. not know what a Prince Albert is?
No, I do. Sure. Do you not know what Prince Albert in a can, the Prince Albert in a can joke is?
I mean, yes, I know that one. Well, let him out then.
Yeah.
But this goes back to the age of Queen Victoria, and her husband, Prince Albert, had the piercing. So what? This existed back in 1984. People knew what this was. Writers got away with one here.
I mean, to be fair, this is probably referencing the tobacco joke.
You think so?
Yes, as opposed to the piercing joke.
I don't know. Y'all, hashtag, we don't do that anymore, do we? Because we're not on that website anymore. Well, technically the show is, and thank God Gina can point us to the tweets as they come in, because me and Chan don't look at it anymore.
You guys, I Googled Prince Albert piercing, and I regret.
Wait, did you not know what it was?
No, I knew what it was, but I was just like, oh, the thing you said about Prince Albert actually having that piercing seemed very wrong to me. So I'm like, I'm going to look and see if there's like, here's the history of the Prince Albert piercing. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I don't want to see.
For sure. So let's talk about something I want to talk about. And that's that the G.I. Joe voices in this episode, because it's all these people who work as security in this hotel, and they don't like the idea of nine now children unaccompanied just rolling in the front door, which is amazing to me. But we get Neil Ross in this episode. Wonderful. Neil Ross has been to Robert Clark Chan's living room. That's how you know he's a real G. And we also get, and I recognize his voice right away, Arthur Burghardt, voice of Destro as well. Ah. I love it. I was so happy to hear both of their voices in there. I just immediately wrote right here, okay, I have to look it up afterwards, but I know these are G.I. Joe voices. But Neil Ross is so good at doing so many different voices, it took me a second to figure it out. When the closing credits ran and I saw Neil Ross in the closing credits, I figured it out.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep it real. And yeah. And who's there in the lobby of this random hotel but the couple once again?
What?
Yeah, they are keeping tabs on these children that they're going to that they're going to kidnap.
Wow. And the Cabbage Patch Kids can't yell loud enough as they leave. So this is a near miss of an occasion. There's a wonderful thing where they hide in a clothing rack. Why there's just a clothing rack in the lobby of this hotel, I don't know. But they hide in it to get inside. A near miss, unfortunately, and they get kicked out. This is where the white lady continues her story, her struggling backstory. And I just, again, this white lady is full of struggles. She came to the city, again, to see children on Christmas, to not feel so bad about not having children at Christmas time.
Yeah, this is when someone should intervene and tell this man to get his wife on antidepressants and take her to a therapist.
Get some Zoloft.
I thought we'd be less lonely coming to the city to see the children enjoying Christmas.
I don't know how you arrive at that conclusion.
I don't at all.
It's like you walk into a freaking opium den and be like, I thought it would be easier to stop thinking about heroin by going into a room full of heroin users.
I wanted to lose weight, so I locked myself in this Baskin Robbins. Like, what is happening? What is happening here? Oddly enough, the children do get kicked out of the hotel by security. So you know what? I like functional security. They had a problem. They dealt with the problem. They ejected all nine children, and the children didn't get past the lobby. That's a security win. I'm going to mark it down. Security win.
Yeah, I want to stay in that hotel. The hotel that throws children out.
Oh, that's a Gina special.
I would pay extra.
Yep. Pay extra to watch them through. Can I throw the children out? Oh my goodness. The kids, the Cabbage Patch Kids end up in a city park and they're under a bridge sleeping in the cold. And at this moment they realize maybe this was a bad idea.
Yeah. This is really like one of the kids, the kid that's dressed like a military soldier is 100% bald. Like this kid in New York in winter is freezing to death within an hour.
Yeah.
Especially like in 1984 when it was still cold.
Oh yeah. When cold existed. Yeah. That's crazy. I like that. The one girl is just like, guys, maybe this was a mistake. Why, what are we going to do next? And the other kid just shouts, stop asking questions. There's clearly a hierarchy here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
I don't ever want to feel.
Jen, like I don't know what's happening here.
Take me to the place I love.
Why are we singing Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Take me
forward. Oh, because we're under the bridge. God damn it. God damn it. Oh, I'm so mad.
The people want to hear more singing.
They've told us. They've told us they want to hear more Gina and Chan singing, and I'm trying not to take it personally.
No, you should take that personally.
You should obviously take everything personally, in my opinion.
Of the three of us, I am the only musical theater major. what a disaster. This was a wild part to me is when the freckled white girl says to Jenny, the one with the leg injury, she says, you're even more than a friend, Jenny. And I'm like, where are we going with
this?
Yeah.
Then they start kissing.
Do you want to know? Because I didn't take the screenshot, but there is a screenshot as the moment she says it, I'm going to do it right now. I'm clicking on the button. And I'm going to send you the picture.
Yes,
it's going to come into the chat. And you tell me, what is this little freckled child doing?
Oh, boy.
That is exactly when she says it.
Oh, wow. She is honking that hooter.
She is feeling her up from the outside of the clothes. So tasteful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, this round-faced baby with the yarn hair says to this girl, hey, we're both like redheaded freckled kids. We could be sisters, and I would slap the shit out of someone. If a Cabbage Patch doll said that to me, I would be like, the fuck are you talking about? I am a human being with a human face.
It is. I did not realize that part. That is disturbing. That is absolutely, I love, here's the deal. This might be my favorite Christmas special we've ever watched. I'll just put it out there. The more we talk about it, the more the enjoyment level goes up. I was expecting this to be a real drag because quite honestly, if you break down what happens in this episode, it is a real bummer.
Oh yeah. This is right in our wheelhouse because it's not good, but it is fun to break down.
Yes. Very much so. Well, here's the deal. We get another song. For the second Christmas special in a row that we watched, Deck the Halls makes an appearance, guaranteeing it's a public domain song.
I need to stop us here. Normally, I'm not going to want to play any of the music, but this is important, and I looked it up because...
Tis the season to be jolly, la 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 la.
Our what apparel?
Oh, wait, what? Whoa, I didn't notice that.
Oh, wait, what is it? Play
it's
it again.
Our pride apparel.
It's what? No, Jesus.
It's supposed
Christ.
To be gay apparel.
Don we now our pride apparel.
But if you replace gay with pride, isn't that sort of the same thing?
It's maybe bright. It's not pride.
Oh, I heard pride.
I also heard pride, but I knew that couldn't be right because that wasn't a thing in the 80s.
Not in 84, no. Maybe it was.
The weird thing is I went and looked it up because I was like, that sounds really specific and weird. Is that like a normal thing? Like maybe in the South that's they've been doing that forever. And it isn't. But in 2011, some weird ass thing came up where something got changed to bright apparel. And there were just articles and articles and articles on NBC and friggin' 93.1 Kiss FM and University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign talking about a middle school choir who changed gay apparel to bright apparel because they're homophobic.
Oh no.
So they don't know the original meaning of the word gay, I guess?
Well, I mean, the original meaning of the word gay is to have sex with another man in the butt, but like, they did know. It. Yeah.
Okay.
What a disappointment. As if people were still able to disappoint me in the year 2023.
1984, please. For God's sakes. We were still using the F word willy-nilly.
Oh, yes. Watch the Bill farts? And Ted's movie.
I still say farts all the time.
Yeah, and that's why you've been canceled.
No. Yeah.
I didn't want to be the one to tell you.
You can take my farts for my cold, dead butt.
God damn it. Okay. Well, that's depressing. And this is where we get our dark... This is some good writing. We get our darkest hour moment. And in their darkest hour, when they were cold and hungry and unable to accomplish any of their goals and being chased by a trio of people wanting to put them to work as pickpockets, they sat there under a bridge and just complained about their situation. Heroes. And this is where they, of course, get abducted again, because this is all that happens. They're sleeping, I should say. They're sleeping, and Bertha comes in and says, thieves always hide their wallets under their pillows. And the pillow in this case is the military helmet that the bald child is wearing. She gets the wallet. And then this should be good enough, quite honestly. She has the wallet. She could get away with it. She should take off. This is a lot of money, but Bertha and her hubris know no bounds. So she risks everything like she's playing press your luck and is looking to find no whammy, no whammy. Stop. Neil Ross does the voice of the whammies. I mentioned that again because it's wonderful. He still does. Thank you. They try to kidnap all nine of the children and put them. And I think, you know, this is clearly not going to work. What are you doing? You have the wallet. You have your victory, Cobra Commander. Just get out. No. This is where they kidnap Jenny specifically, the non-monstrous child, the actual child.
The one who a human being, which is, that's where you fucked up. Like, no one's going to miss these fucking... Yeah, bizarro doll children, these cruciferous children, but a real human, even if it's an orphan, someone will notice.
And this is when the police get involved, because yes, a cop car is driving by at this exact moment, and the cop immediately recognizes Jenny as the kid reported missing from the orphanage. Reported by who? There was no one there.
I mean, like, I assume they came back and they're like, ah, crap, the government's going to be mad that we lost a kid.
Yeah, we're going to have to fix our paperwork, and Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. And if they are, in fact, running a scheme, they would not want the cops involved, just for the record. So when the cops show up.
That's the little girl missing from the home.
And those pickpockets we've been looking for.
I mean, when Optimus Prime tells
that's right,
we got to get these motherfucking pickpockets.
You knew it. You can't abduct children in front of Optimus Prime, you ninnies. Don't even try it. And I love the fact that, like, they're busted. Cops are here. The cops, you have tried to steal the human girl. And Bertha and the crew is like, oh, man, cops are here. Grab all nine children and make a run for it. What? Just get away. Scatter. There's only two cops. One of you will escape.
Also, this delights me no end. here's what happens.
The cops! Grab the brats and run for it!
I played all of that because, yeah. The delightful people of Adobe have, given us a automatic transcription service.
Oh, sure.
And so what I got out of that was the cops grab the brass ring, board it, and grab hands around the heat, just like a clam, which makes me very happy. That's all. We
can move on now. No, that's fine. Yeah, they lock hands. They overpower the grown adults, and the cops arrest everybody. What a delight! This is just wild because that threat has now been put down. And who is walking by the park while all this happens? But that couple once again just shows up inexplicably where the children are in a perfect moment. And I just wrote here, this is too much. There are coincidences, and then there are just writers who do not care. In that moment, they get their wallet returned to them, and they give them Jenny. Adoption is a go. They say, human child, human white child. All our dreams have come true. They didn't look too hard. They literally had to be given a child to answer the question that they themselves have been asking this entire episode. Like, these are not good people.
This brings me much joy because in the same way that, like, when something racist happens in a cartoon, I'm like, yeah, this is personal to me. Sure. Like, you're doing this fake Chinese accent, Shaggy. we're going to have words. One of us has had extensive experience with the process of adoption.
That is correct.
And that these sons of bitches are like, oh, it's too hard to go to an adoption agency and look at children. We're just going to whine until one drops in our lap.
I'm telling you, this really hit with me. You will never find a bigger adoption proponent than myself. I am in favor of this practice greatly due to personal experience. And let me tell you, I don't want an adoption in this case whatsoever. They do no work at all. And the answer is just dangling in front of them. Constantly.
I was trying to figure out, like, you know how at the end of Peter Pan, the Darlings adopt all of the Lost Boys, right?
Okay.
Like, like that's the lesson. So this is the part of the episode where I was like, I just assumed they were going to take the one human child. But the whole point of Cabbage Patch Kids was that you adopt them, right? Like, when you got one, they give you a little adoption paper that says, like, this is her name, this is your doll, they're yours now. So I was like, is this going to be, like, they can't have a Cabbage Patch with no Cabbage Patch Kids, but she's either got to take all or none. So that's where I was at this point in the episode.
Same. And so what ends up happening is they go straight with Jenny, straight to the adoption office. I don't know how this possibly works, having been through this process. They on the spot, no questions asked, they are able to adopt Jenny right there and then.
No. They do say, the woman clearly says, while we get these adoption papers ready.
Okay, but that is implying a very short turnaround window at the very least.
I mean, I assume she's quickly aging out of the adoption system.
She's not that old.
She's the one no one wants.
This is true. This is where this is where the quote unquote sister also gets her ass adopted, saying, let's take both of them. And I just wrote here, fuck you, other Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, they set it up perfectly because the other kids are like, we are sad for ourselves because we're going to miss you, but we're happy for you. And I was like, oh, okay, so this is where the couple says, well, you know what? Why don't we take them all? And then they don't. And it is weird.
It is upsetting.
I just assumed that that was sort of the engine that they created for a future series. Like, every episode, one of them would get adopted. There'd be like one, like, red shirt Cabbage Patch Kid that would get adopted because, like, it was expendable because you can't get rid of, like, the weirdly militarized child.
I don't know.
Oh, I bet you can. John Cena's looking.
It was just so, like, there's no, like, whoa, we'll come and visit you, or like, oh, kids, you can come and visit them anytime. It's not like the end of Annie. It's not like the end of Peter Pan. I truly was like, okay, well, now they're going to, they have to adopt them all.
But look, there's not room on the plantation for 9 children.
I mean, they're going to come back in a month and be like, oh, both of them mysteriously died. I guess we need more. And then the colonel is going to be like, yeah, all right. You just got to pay me personally $200 a kid.
And then we get the sort of the epilogue where the couple sends presents and a tree to the children's cottage, which I guess is the least they could do. But isn't this in a hidden grotto? How do they get this delivered?
Does OnTrack go that way? I assume Amazon goes everywhere. Also, there is a stork. I mean, isn't a stork's whole purpose in cartoon is deliveries?
That tree was gigantic.
He's a strong stork.
Yeah,
I mean, he must be.
I saw in the documentary Dumbo, a stork carried a baby elephant. So
you know what? I've been shut down. I've been shut down by a good argument, and I can't. I just have to accept it. it turns out they had the spirit of Christmas the entire time inside of them. Dumb babies. It's not a real physical, tangible thing. It's a spirit. It's inside you, dummies. And this is where we get. And I have a lot of notes. This is where we get the turkey. Chan's mentioned it. Gina's mentioned it.
I hate it.
This is where we have a full turkey.
I hate it. And I had forgotten about it in this lovely discussion. I had forgotten that there was a devil baby who sticks its disgusting cabbage head at a turkey that everyone is about to eat, by the way. Oh, also, as that baby is crawling towards the turkey,
on the table,
I would have snatched that turkey away and kicked that baby away. There is nothing I find more disgusting than kids around food. And this baby sticks its disgusting face right in the turkey, slurps its fucking ass, and then pulls his little head away with all the brown shit all over his mouth. And it is the most upsetting thing we have ever watched in a cartoon.
I almost threw up. You get those pictures online of the baby covered in spaghetti sauce, holding like pieces of spaghetti. And I want to throw up every single time I see those. It is horrifying. It is horrifying to me.
I hate it so much.
It's so upsetting. Jan sends us a picture of the baby eating, and it's the side of the turkey. And why is the turkey covered in gravy? I'm going to ask that question
that
too. That's not how anything works.
That turkey.
And it gets a beard, a Bluto beard of gravy on this baby.
That turkey shat itself.
That is just everything. And that is not appetizing. But I want to also bring up a point here. I don't know if y'all noticed this. They asked the stork, "Hey, stork, do you want to hang out and eat this bird?"
No, thanks. I got to be getting back to Babyland.
No.
"Hey, do you want to eat one of your own kind, stork?"
Yeah. You don't have, if she don't have shit to do, you just don't want to eat a fucking bird.
Get out of there. Get out of there, stork. Colonel, you're next. Run. Why? Hey, no. This is the Chuck E. Cheese episode again, where they're friends with a chicken, but they also eat chicken and make fun of the chicken for not also eating chicken. And I have just questions about this universe as well. It's so upsetting. And then why is just the baby on the table unsupervised? Why is the baby crawling towards the turkey unsupervised?
I truly hate it. I hate it. God. Also, like, it probably, like, touches its own shit and has gooey hands. And, like, now no one can eat that turkey.
Well, you could eat the other side of that turkey. But you wouldn't want to because it's covered in gravy.
It is an odd turkey.
It is upsetting. Okay. I'll have to pull some of these images.
We've talked a lot about how awful and creepy this couple is. Obviously, I place the blame on, we all have, on the woman and the man. They obviously have some sort of fucked up relationship. But I suspect, like this.
"I love that child with the freckles.
That's weird. It's a weird fetish to have. And I was like, oh God, what this gross. in addition to like all the racism of it, it's just kind of ew. But then there's they're talking about the kids much earlier, and like there's this person, this kid, and this kid, and this kid, and then there's
Louise. At last count, she had 2,751 freckles.
Oh yeah. That wild.
Is it the bird, or is it just the writers of this cartoon who have a really odd fetish for freckles? That like, I'm gonna count every freckle on that girl's face. Oh yeah. Oh baby, I wanna have a child with freckles.
That seems like a lot of freckles.
Give me the freckles.
Listen, there was a period of time when there was Pollyanna, you know, there was like a period of time where it was like, this is the most kid like kid. It's got freckles.
Yeah. Back in the '80s, freckles were a really big deal. Definitely that was in our media a lot, was kids with freckles. That was a big deal back then.
It is for disturbing. Sure.
And then we end on, we find out all the kids are special because they're all different. And that makes them special.
All the kids have polio.
But obviously the other message of this episode is the white, red-haired, freckled kids are a little more special than the other ones. They're
the only ones that get adopted.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair...
Oh boy.
One kid is wearing a military helmet.
That kid is upsetting.
Honestly, I forget who all the other kids are. I just remember thinking the entire time that the Patton kid was very weird.
They, at the beginning of the episode, like the narrator, God bless him, the narrator tries to tell us the names of all the kids. None of them are particularly identified between each other. So he's just like, and that's when Mary Sue and Sour Sam. And I'm just like, I don't know, dude. They're all the same. They're just the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Well, we can go through it real quick because
may as well.
The military kid is named Cannon something. Cannon as in like kaboom.
Cannon
as
fodder.
In murder people with a cannon.
Cannon fodder, yeah.
That young fella there is Otis Lee.
Okay, Otis Lee is the black kid.
Okay.
That's Sybil Sadie.
Sybil Sadie is the one with the glasses and the pigtails.
I don't remember a single kid with glasses.
Tyler Bow is, I guess, the other black girl.
Boy.
Rachel Marie.
Rachel Marie. No. Maybe there's one who's hiding somewhere.
Or Raimi for short.
Raimi.
There you go.
Dawson Glenn.
Dawson Glenn is definitely the one with the cowboy hat.
Cousin Cannon Lee.
You know who Cousin that is.
Cannon Lee.
Lee, God. It's literally like, hey, what's the name of the racist car in Dukes of Hazzard,
oh,
plus something that Revolutionary War reenactors love?
Why is he a cousin? Are the rest of them siblings? Did they kidnap?
Well, they're all from the same Cabbage Patch, so they are. Does that make them related?
Why is he the only cousin, though? Like, either they're all cousins, or just he's the cousin means the rest of them are closer hereditarily?
I mean, you're asking some great... You're asking some great questions, and I do not have answers to them, just for the record. Boy, I don't know.
I'm concerned.
Anyway, that's our episode, everybody. Cabbage Patch. We talked for a very long time about the Cabbage Patch. This is much longer than I thought. I was trying to make a quick one today, and it just did not. It got away from us.
It's nice to just do a terrible episode about child trafficking every once in a while.
You know, sometimes that's what the show needs. Cabbage Patch Kids, first Christmas special. Was there a second? I'm going to say no.
I'm just going to say no. I saw no evidence to that. I mean, here's the thing. Like, this isn't like they were like the Transformers where they're trying to sell toys. The toys were so big. They're like, well, let's make money off a cartoon as well. And it just so happened that it was dog shit and no one wanted to watch it.
Correct. I'm trying to see if there are other Cabbage Patch Kid animated features, What I've got here is four other stop motion animated specials from the late 90s.
Are you telling me that we could have been watching a stop motion Cabbage Patch Kids special?
We got Cabbage Patch Kids The Clubhouse in 96, Cabbage Patch Kids The Screen Test, oh boy, in 97, Cabbage Patch Kids Saturday Night in 98, and Cabbage Patch Kids Vernon's Christmas.
Oh no.
In 1999. We might have to do a second Cabbage Patch Kids Christmas special. I'm just gonna put it out there.
I assume it's an Ernest P. Worrell movie.
It better be. Hey Vern. Actually, let's save that for next year, and that way we have something to look forward to through all of 2024.
Amazing.
Oh boy, oh boy. Cabbage Patch Kids First Christmas. Oh, okay, there we go. According to the Wikipedia page, not IMDb, Peter Cullen, hotel worker / policeman, uncredited.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. He asked his name to be taken off the picture. I just assumed.
He didn't want to portray a cop, is what I heard. It had nothing to do with Cabbage Patch Kids. He just said, listen, I've got a rep to maintain.
I'm a bad boy.
And near as I can tell, according to this Wikipedia page, this is the only animated feature that they ever made. It's not just their first Christmas, it's their first anything, and they never made a second one. That's wild. They just never made it. So it obviously did. There are more Garbage Pail Kids movies. Oh, wow. Anyway, that is the Cabbage Patch Kids. Y'all have anything you want to plug besides Vampire Detroit episode 6, currently existing vampiredetroit.com? I had to get that in before Chan pulled the plug on the episode.
You know what? I'll say it. Go to New Rockstars and watch the Doctor Who Star Beast breakdown.
There you go.
I did. It was very good.
Yay. Thank you.
And it starred me.
Yeah. You'll see Chan in there in a little cameo.
Oh, seriously.
For about half a second. Yeah,
when I sent the video and I said scrub to 52 seconds in, Ray, what do you think that meant?
Wait, what video did you send?
Oh boy.
Did you send us a video?
Yeah.
When did you send us a video?
Today.
You
could just scroll up, Ray.
I'm scrolling up. I'm not seeing it. I see soup. I see a video. Oh, it's the video.
Yeah, you'll see Chan. Even if you don't want to watch the whole video, you can watch a minute of it and you'll get fill. But watch the whole video.
I'm seeing a guy. There's Gina Ippolito's headshot from 5 years ago.
You don't need to narrate this.
That was Robert Clark Chan, ladies and gentlemen, in a Doctor Who Live promo picture.
Yeah.
That is young, very young Robert Clark Chan.
He's just aged terribly in the past 3 years.
It's more like 6 years and a month.
I'm going to say right now, I don't know when this picture was, but it was at least over 6 years
old. I mean, look at me and tell me how long ago you think it was.
Well, which picture? Because there's the headshot picture of you from 2011.
I'm in the same one with Chan.
You are in the same one with Chan. This is Gina as I first met Gina. This is probably, I'm going to say this is from 20, this is 8 years old. I'm going to say right now, this is 8 years old. This is from 2015.
Mm. Mm.
Also, and I would also get it right because this is more than 6 years ago. Because look at that young, hopeful Robert Clark Chan.
Mm.
Mm. Look at, he's full of life. Mm. He's full of mischief, this guy. Chan, can you comment?
Yeah.
No one's like another, it's plain to see. Each one is as different as you and me. Their arms are open and their hearts are too. They're always ready for a hug from you. Cabbage Patch Kids.
Growing in the garden.
Cabbage Patch Kids.
Growing in the sun.
And the most amazing thing about a Cabbage Patch Kid is that each one grows to be a special one. Every Cabbage Patch Kid needs the love of someone to make their dream come true. A mom or a dad or a brother or a sister like you. Hey, Cabbage Patch Kids.
Growing in the garden.
Cabbage Patch Kids.
Growing in the sun.
And the most amazing thing about a Cabbage Patch Kid is that each one grows to be a special one.
Cabbage Patch Kids.
growing in the garden. Cabbage Patch Kids growing in the sun. Cabbage Patch Kids, Cabbage Patch Kids. Each one grows to be a special one.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.